This is Dave Chen from SlashFilm.com. I'm here speaking with Brian Poyser, the director of Lovers of Hate. Lovers of Hate screened this year at the Sundance Film Festival at South by Southwest, and it's currently screening here at the Independent Film Festival of Boston. So, Brian, tell us a little bit about your movie.
Well, it's a twisted love triangle between two brothers and the woman that they've both been in love with for a long time that culminates with all three of them in this giant mansion in Park City, Utah, where one of the brothers is actually hiding in the house trying to sabotage the romantic weekend that the other two are trying to have.
Can you tell us a little about the tone of the movie?
Well, the tone, it's a mix of tones. It's kind of suspenseful, it's kind of disturbing, it's kind of funny. It's sexy, funny, creepy is the way that we've been describing
nice.
It in terms of the tone. And shifting between those three, sometimes all within the same scene.
Sounds like most of the dates that I have,
actually. Yeah, exactly.
Sexy, funny, creepy.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, when you were sort of thinking about this movie and how you're going to make it, were there any love triangle films that kind of inspired you or set you off? Or was it, in fact, based on anything in your life that...
No, it was really, it really wasn't based on any movies or anything. It was just kind of based on this house. Like, I knew this house in Park City. It's like four stories, six bedrooms, I don't know how many thousands of square feet. I mean, it's giant. And it's this house that's owned by one of the board of directors of this nonprofit film organization that I work for. And that's how I kind of came to know it. And, you know, I spent some time in that house after Sundance 2008 when we threw a party there and just kind of thought, you know, it'd be really cool to shoot a movie here and live here while I shot it.
Nice.
And so with that idea, the house, I also wanted to write a role for this actor, Chris Dubeck, who I've worked with a couple times before in Austin. He's like one of the best actors in Austin, and I just thought it'd be really fun to put him in that house hiding, you know, because it's so huge. Like, one could hide in this house for like days and no one would know.
Right.
There's so many rooms and hiding places and stuff.
So this is kind of a movie inspired by like a geographic place.
The location plus the actor equaled the idea for the movie.
Who are your inspirations filmically?
I don't know. It's weird. I definitely was inspired a lot by like directors from the 70s, you know, like Martin Scorsese, and also I'm a huge fan of like David Cronenberg, and you know, Back to the Future is one of my favorite movies, and this movie is like none of those. I mean, it's like, it's really, I don't know, I can't really directly identify, you know, influences very well. I don't know, I mean, it's just, you know, I watch movies obsessively and just, you know, kind of absorb stuff from all of them and just kind of want, you know, like Brian De Palma is another filmmaker who I just really, you know, I don't necessarily like all of his movies. I kind of hate some of them, but I find them compulsively watchable. So, so I don't know. I mean, I think this movie maybe has parts of all of those directors in there in small ways.
What is the situation with distribution for the film at this point?
Well, it got picked up by IFC.
Congratulations!
Thank you. Yeah, after Sundance, and they released it on video on demand concurrent with its screenings at South by Southwest.
So people can actually see this movie right now.
So yeah, so it's available on VOD now on Comcast and Cablevision until June 15th.
And how do you? Let me ask you. I mean, I know you can't. You have to be diplomatic, but you know, what do you feel like in terms of that, the idea that people can watch it at home now? Are you kind of one of the people that you're like, oh, people should definitely see it in the theater? You're a proponent of the theatrical experience? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely a proponent of the theatrical experience, but I'm also, like, you know, a realist.
Yeah, realistically.
Yeah, and it's like my movie, you know, we made it for very little money. It doesn't star anyone famous. It doesn't fit neatly into any one genre. Like, it's not, it could have been a straight-out comedy, but I didn't make it that. It could have been, you know, suspense film, like, you know, like thriller kind of thing, and I didn't make it that, so I knew that it was like, you know, it was going to be a tough sell, you know, just based on how kind of dire the circumstances are for independent films nowadays. So I think just the fact that it's available, you know, for people who do hear about it is, you know, like that, I mean,
yeah.
For me as a filmmaker, this is the movie that I've made that has gotten the furthest, like, by far.
Right.
So
this is a movie where, like, people are like, oh, how can I see that? And you can actually give
them
an
answer. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Right. And you know, it'll be coming out on DVD later on. And, you know, it's going to play a couple theatrical dates, but just in a few cities. And the VOD thing, like, yeah, it's a way that anyone across the country, you know, like... You know, it was able to get some numbers in terms of who has been ordering the movie, and it's people like in, you know, far flung, you know, cities where the movie never would have played, even if we had sold it to like a, you know, Sony Pictures Classics or something like that. So right. So you know, I mean, it's great.
Well, I'm glad you didn't do that. But
well, yeah, that would have sucked.
But I mean, let me ask you about you were saying how the state of independent film is mm-hmm. not that great. I hear a lot about it.
Yeah.
But you're like on the trenches. Like you're there on the front lines. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. Well, to me, it was just, it's like the real problem is that the movie that is really endangered nowadays is not the big budget movie.
Right.
It's not the tiny budgeted movie. It's not the
it's like the $30 to $40 million adult drama.
Yeah, or even just like the $1 million movie, like the $5 million movie, yeah. Because it's, you know, the distributors out there to pay that much for a movie, for an independent film, they don't really exist. Like, they've either gone out of business or they're out of that business entirely. And so it's just like,
because you got studios spending like $50 to $100 million on marketing alone.
You
can't do that with a $1 million.
Yeah, and you can't. You know, it's like your little indie film, even if it does star famous people, isn't necessarily going to compete with a movie that has that big of a marketing budget. You know,
right?
So,
well, so then, given that, I mean, given that you see sort of what the business implications of your industry are, do you feel pressure personally to go commercial? What's your next movie going to be?
I don't know. I mean, I just feel like I'm still an amateur. I'm still learning how to do this, you know. And the problem with filmmaking is that it's a very expensive art form to practice.
Yep.
You know, it's not like a painter where, you know, a couple $100 and you can have like as much paint as you want, and you can paint 100 canvases and try to like find whatever your style is going to be with a movie. It's like, even if you're making a tiny movie, you do have to marshal resources, and it takes a lot of time.
Access and credit cards.
And so it's just like, so I'm still very, you know, I know how much I don't know. And I'm, every time I do this, I learn more about what I don't know. And so I think it's just, you know, yeah, I would love for the next movie I make to be, you know, to have a bit more in terms of resources and stuff. And, you know, getting in a movie into Sundance definitely has, you know, opened up doors that were definitely closed before.
How has that affected your life?
It hasn't really affected my life that much. I mean, you know, it's like I still have to go back to my day job when the festival was over.
Can I ask what your day job is?
I work for the Austin Film Society, which is a nonprofit film organization in Austin.
What do you do for them?
I give money to filmmakers. That's my job. I administer this grant program we have that I was lucky enough to be able to take advantage
to be
of.
Be a beneficiary of.
Well, not for this movie, but for previous films before I started working there.
Yeah, because that would have been kind of sketchy.
Yeah, that would be wrong.
I'm granting myself money.
Yeah, what do you know? My project was the best.
It was definitely worth that money.
Yeah. So that's my day job, and it is, you know, it's a great way to like be connected to the film community in Texas specifically, and there's so many talented people there doing so much amazing varied work, you know, not just narrative stuff, like amazing documentaries and animated films, and you know. But yeah, I mean, like, getting into Sundance was huge, you know. It was a career achievement that I'd been striving for my entire adult life, you know.
And so did you get more calls? Did you get any offers or anything like that?
I mean, you know, I definitely now have people who will, you know, they'll take me more seriously, you know, they'll, like, read my next script and, like, you know, producers that, you know, didn't know who I was before now know who I am and, like, you know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, whereas before, it's just you're just some guy. Now you're like a guy that got a movie.
I'm just a guy toiling away, and now, you know, I'm a guy who's got that on his resume, and it's fantastic. And, you know, the festival experience was incredible. You know, it was great.
Yeah, for sure. So are there any ideas about what you're going to work on next?
I have some scripts. Unfortunately, I have one script that kind of, you know, it's been... There's a couple other movies that are going to be coming out that are pretty similar to what my script was, so...
Can you tell, like...
I don't really want to say it in case I do end up making it, but if those movies fall apart, but yeah, I mean, it is something that's gonna... It's a little bit more of a genre thing. It's a little bit more... Yeah. So I gotta get back to writing more stuff. You know, that's the bottom line.
And you like go to your day job and then like write at night, I guess, or
yeah, no, it's all been nights and weekends. You know, that's how I made this film. That's how I have. You know, this is like the second film that I've made while I've worked there.
Can you talk about how you funded this movie, or?
Yeah, it was just small like investments from family and friends of friends. You know, it was a tiny budget. So.
And again, feel free to just cut me off here, but when the movie is acquired, like mm-hmm. They make back their investments.
Yeah. This is the first movie I've made that's made a dime, and you know it's gonna. Pay for itself.
It must have been like an exciting thing to be acquired.
No. Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, it was just, you know, it's like, yeah, that's what you're hoping for. it's also like, you know, it's just one step along the path. You know, it's just, right. It wasn't like...
It's not like, wow, like, everything's okay now.
Yeah, because, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like we got rich off the movie. And we knew that we weren't going to. Like, right. We knew that we were making something that, if we were lucky, it was going to make its money back, you know?
Right.
Because, you know, I study the independent film world, and yeah. I understand how it works, and I know how tough it is, you know.
As my boss would say, it's not a four-quadrant movie.
No.
If you know the
marketing. No, it is not. Link. No. But, I mean, it's a movie that people really connect with and, you know, enjoy, so.
Well, Brian, why don't you tell people how they can find more of your work on the internet or more about your movie?
Well, you can watch Lovers of Hate on video on demand if you have Comcast or Cablevision right now. You can also get my first film called Dear Pillow on Netflix. It's available there. And, the website.
Twitter or Facebook? Yeah, go ahead.
The website for the film is loversofhatethemovie.com. And, we've got a Facebook page, and you can seek me out. I'm on there, too, so.
All right, Brian Poyser, thanks so much for speaking with us at cool. SlashFilm.com.
Thank you.